A home, that short phrase uttered by senior citizens, has some unpleasant connotations at times. The majority of senior citizens would rather live their later years in their own home, but not a home. The National Senior Companion Program pairs seniors who need some assistance at home, their own homes, with low-income community members who are prepared to help. And the Lane County Senior Companion Program is seeking volunteers. The program's director, Beth Brooks, joins us this morning on The Exchange to talk about the Senior Companion Program. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. So the Senior Companion Program sounds like a revolutionary new program, but it's been around for 30 years. That's a measure of success in and of itself.
Right. Actually, we're celebrating our 41st year as a national program and 40 years right here in Lane County.
That is amazing. So how did the program start?
Oh, it has had a long history, obviously. The way that it originally started was a program that was designed to be a win-win-win for all of the pieces involved. So a way to help frail elders and people with disabilities stay in their own homes as long as possible, a way to help seniors that were economically disadvantaged by providing a small stipend, and also a way of assisting agencies that are overwhelmed with their caseloads by having senior companions see their clients once a week.
And so how do you, as the program director or people working in the program, identify seniors who have a need to participate?
Here in Lane County, what we do is we partner with other agencies that service the same types of people we're looking to help. So in terms of our client base, we're looking for frail elders or people that are living with disabilities. So we partner with agencies that service those same types of people. So, for instance, Senior and Disability Services, the VA Home-Based Healthcare Service. We work also with Health and Human Services, with people with developmental disabilities. So we identify agencies that service the same populations.
Mm-hmm. And so the companions themselves also need to be senior-ish in age?
They need to be 55 or better, yes, and meet a low-income guideline.
Okay. And why do you have that age restriction? Is it because you want people to be able to relate to those close to their own age, or are there other reasons?
Honestly, it's because it's a federally grant-funded program. And that is the way it was designed, to provide people with a little extra money to help them make ends meet in their later years when their incomes become limited and fixed.
We're talking with Beth Brooks about a program based at Lane Community College in Lane County called the Senior Companion Program. If you have questions or would like to participate in the conversation this morning, call us at 800-838-3760. You can also send your emails during the live broadcast to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Beth, I know when my own mother was in the last years of her life, she needed some companionship during the day while I was at work, and so my family went through the private caregiving market. And the firm we chose actually was quite responsive. You don't always hear that, but they were quite responsive. And if she found a particular companion wasn't a good fit, they brought somebody else out. How do you choose and actually vet your companions and pair them with seniors with a need?
What we do is we do a very extensive pre-training. So first of all, there's an application process. We review applications, and then people have to pass a criminal background check, including a sex offender check. So that's the original screening. And then we do 40 hours of one-on-one training with people. And that includes direct instruction, but also out in the field where they're shadowing with current companions. So we get a lot of different people's perspectives on how this position fits with their personality. All of these are based on relationships, so we do personality matches as best as possible. And we try to be just like your experience, whereas if it doesn't work out, if personalities aren't getting along, then we do a new match to try and make sure that everyone is having a good experience.
So do you have a set test you do for people's personalities, or is this just based on your kind of feeling the things out with the, both the companion and the person you're going to place them with?
It's based on my interaction with the individuals along with everyone else on the staff, other senior companions' interactions, and then we have site supervisors at each agency we partner with that also meet with the new companion. And they do a more extensive almost like personal inventory. It's not a formal test. It just is, what kinds of things work for you? What do you find enjoyable? What kind of personalities do you find you get along with? Because it is just a stipend and it's small, so their compensation is $2.65 an hour.
So it's really kind of nominal. It's not a way for someone, a low-income senior, to kind of supplement their income significantly. It just sort of covers some expenses, basically.
Right. The goal is that they're not out any money, but also that the program provides them additionally with some social interaction to remove the social isolation that is very common as people age.
And so I assume you're serving partially some rural areas in Lane County. Do people get a travel stipend if they have to, say, drive 10 or 15 miles to their companion's house?
They do. We do reimburse on a mileage at 40.5 cents a mile, and that is set by another grant that we receive. And we also do some compensation for meals while they are volunteering, and that is different depending on which area they're serving, in addition to the fact that they have free access to the Cafe 60s, which are run through Senior and Disability Services.
And tell us about those, please.
The Cafe 60s are kitchens that serve very nutritious, well-balanced, and delicious meals, and they're run out of the same kitchens that prepare the Meals on Wheels meals. But this is a site where people go and eat all together in a congregate environment, and they're located all throughout the counties in Oregon. And what it's based on a donation suggestion, but our program benefits, as does the Cafe 60 program, by our companions eating there, because what they do is they bring other seniors into the social environment, which provides both the clients and the seniors with another engaged environment. And also, it provides them a steady stream of people who are there.
Beth Brooks is the program director for a program based at Lane Community College called Senior Companion. If you have questions or would like to join the conversation, call us at 800-838-3760 on the Jefferson Exchange this morning, or you can send your emails during the live broadcast to jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Beth, you mentioned 40 hours worth of training, and there's some personality evaluation there. What other things do you train the potential companions on?
We train them on various disabilities that they might encounter and the best ways to interact with them. We train them on things that are allowable and not allowable within the program. So this is very different than a caregiving situation. It's all of the pleasure without any of the labor. So we are just a companionship-based program. So it's about developing long-lasting friendships, meaningful relationships with their clients and with other senior companions. So we do training on that. This is a new situation for a lot of people. So how do you walk into meeting a person and then suddenly spending 4 hours one day a week with them, which can be intimidating to people that haven't been in that kind of situation before. So we teach them skills about how to make conversation, how to find common ground, how to interact in the best ways with disabilities. If people have limited peripheral vision or if they're hard of hearing, it will affect the way that best communication happens. So we train them in all of those things along with the federal guidelines about allowable activities, not allowable activities.
Now, do you strictly focus on people who are in their own homes, or do you also go to senior living facilities where somebody might, you know, even though they're more in a social situation, they might feel isolated?
We currently have 10% of our companions in a congregate living community, so in one of those senior living arrangements. And it is exactly what you said, just to remove the social isolation that can happen. We know that those the people that work there are very, very overworked. So they don't always have time to sit down and actually have conversations with the clients or the residents. So we do have 10% of our companions that provide that service.
I see. And so do you have senior care facilities saying, you know, noticing that they have a client who's seemingly isolated, they might call you up and say, hey, can you get a companion over here?
They do, yes. And we have had amazing success stories where people go from not leaving their room or talking to anyone, having any interaction, to being a very integral part of that community, just based on a long-term commitment on one of our companions' behalfs to spend time with that person and really draw them out.
So I get the sense from something you mentioned earlier in the interview that this is not necessarily intended to be a substitute for private caregiving. I mean, private caregiving is extremely expensive, and I could see somebody saying, oh, hey, there's a program. I can just go with that. It sounds like this is not a substitute.
It is not a substitute at all. So our companions, because of the federal guidelines, are not allowed to do any caregiving. And in the care community, those are called acts of daily living. So they're not allowed to dress, to toilet, to feed, to any of those things that are required for daily living. What our companions do is strictly just that companionship and some transportation, depending on the situation they're in. So for most older adults, the difference between being able to stay in their own home and not is being able to get to doctor's appointments and the grocery store and those other necessary activities. So 90% of our companions do participate in transportation of their clients.
Do you have situations where your clients are kind of on that edge between independent living and needing a caregiver, and maybe your companions are kind of thrust into a little bit of an uncomfortable situation where they might want to provide a little bit of care?
Well, knowing that the stipend is $2.65 an hour and we ask for a minimum of 15 hours of volunteer work, and these are also very active seniors that are the companions, so they have their own lives. So it takes a wonderful heart, first of all, to be interested in participating in the program, and a desire to really help. So that is a hard line for a lot of people. So much of my job just becomes boundary reinforcement about how do you take good care of yourself and be respectful of the boundaries of the program and still be a meaningful friend to your client. So we do have some of that. But the nice part is that the companions are also considered a critical part of the care team in terms of feedback. So they are having extensive one-on-one contact with their clients once a week. And so they can give feedback to these agency supervisors about the kinds of things that are needed that will best facilitate them staying independent as long as possible.
So that must be part of the training, is to give your companions an idea for, you know, sort of warning signs where some additional intervention from social service agencies might be warranted.
Exactly. And also knowing that the warning signs aren't necessarily warning signs of what they think it might be. So, for instance, as our bodies age, problems with our bodies manifest themselves very differently. So oftentimes when companions first join us, if they have a client that they notice that their memory is diminishing at a noticeable level, they're going to be worried that that means that they have some level of dementia and they're going to have to leave their own home, when really it can be a number of things. It can be a medication issue. It can be an infection issue. So just educating them about all the possibilities and knowing where to turn to best get the support for their clients.
So you're going to say, well, watch for these warning signs, but don't jump to any conclusions.
Exactly. Yes, it's not a definitive, but that is the best help that you can give somebody, mm-hmm. is by noticing and making someone else aware of that.
Now, I noticed on your website, Beth, that you are indicating that men are strongly encouraged to apply to be senior companions, and of course women are welcome as well. But is that because you're finding that most of your companion applicants are women, and you do need more men in the program?
The majority are women, although we do currently, we have 63 companions and 14 of them are men. So they are underrepresented in our program specifically. I'm not aware of what it's like in other programs. But oftentimes, the clients that we find that are males would prefer to get help from other males. Mm-hmm. And that's just it's just a person thing. It's a personality thing. And so we want we want men to know that they are welcome in the programming, since caregiving is typically and stereotypically seen as a female position.
And since you're looking at companionship, it may also be likely that an older male would want to share things about his life with another man that, you know, he might be maybe a little bit uncomfortable telling to a female companion.
Exactly. There's shared experiences that people have based on the times that they grew up in and what the roles were at that point. So definitely people can feel more drawn to one person than another. And there might be a difference in shared hobbies also. We have some clients that go fishing with their, some companions that go fishing with their clients, and some that do woodworking with their clients. So just pursuing hobbies, and I think sometimes that men find that to be a better fit with other men.
Beth Brooks is the program director for Lane County's Senior Companion Program, joining us here on The Exchange today. Beth, if someone in Lane County is interested in participating as a companion or needs a companion or wants a companion, how do they get in touch with you? How do they apply?
Well, if you would like to be a senior companion, then you can call our office directly, and our number is 541-463-6260, and we will connect you. We will either send you out an application or tell you where you can find it online. And if you want a senior companion, the best place to do, no matter where you live, is to call your local area of agency on aging. So here in Lane County, that's the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, and that number is 541-682-3353. And in your county, the number for their office, if you are interested or know someone who you think would benefit from a senior companion type person or even a caregiver, the Area Agency on Aging's number there is 541-776-6222.
Beth Brooks, a great program. She is the Lane County Senior Companion Program Director. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Jefferson Exchange. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.